taking. Making payments and saving, so more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news and more, and much, much more this week. We'll get to that in just a moment.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher, and it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
Yeah, after all the happy music for the last couple of weeks, it's a little bit sad in crypto world today. In fact,
long ago,
yes, it's deja vu all over again as the Mt. Gox trustee dumps on the market again. That's right, dumped another 8,000 Bitcoin in about 24 hours, sending the market reeling. And there's more to come, evidently. We'll get into that shortly. The week began, though, with a welcome announcement of the New York Stock Exchange preparing to offer a cryptocurrency exchange. Everything was sweetness and light, and the future looked bright for all of us. And other positive market developments, the Robinhood stock and cryptocurrency trading app user base exceeded that of E-Trade's. Plus, the Gemini cryptocurrency exchange filed patents to pave the way for Bitcoin ETFs. What could possibly go wrong? And then we were even looking forward to today. Today, when the Pied Piper coin was about to airdrop, and we were all going to get free money, and that was coming up almost in the midst of this show as we speak. Well, we don't have a full house as we sometimes do today, but we have a house full enough to get you through all that news and more as we work through this all. Well, that, of course, would be Augie.
Morning or afternoon, whatever time of day it is, but the stabilization, the regulation of Bitcoin and the New York Stock Exchange. Who said that? Who could have said that long ago and far away?
Well, it was supposed to be Free Money Day today. Kara Haas, blockchain CPA, is with us. She's been working on airdrops actually for 2 weeks now to make us understand this. And then on top of that, the Pied Piper coin was going to be dropped into our wallets today, and she was going to get us all ready to get our Lambos. But we'll have to see. Hi, Kara. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Henry. So great to be here.
Yeah.
I am a bit sleep deprived because as I was working on these airdrops with the Pied Piper fictitious ICO possibility and then them creating their own airdrop to add to the segment, I have not been able to stay away all week.
And not to mention commuting back and forth to Kennedy Space Center, working on interstellar space travel, and making sure it's all accounted for. That's what accountants do.
Yes, indeed. You make my job sound so much more glamorous than what it really is.
Well, it's because you're the big mama. You take care of everything. And everyone.
I can't even go there. And none of my fellow friends that I've reached out to save me can even help me there.
You don't need help. You can go on your own.
By the way, Aki, are you familiar with the Myers-Briggs personality test?
No, I'm not.
No, oh, okay.
Why is that?
We were trying to figure out what four letters you are.
Well, I can tell you, you know, from lawful carnal knowledge, probably, and you too.
Well, changing subjects just for a minute before we dive into all the news, we want to give a big congratulations to attorney Greg Karsh, friend of the show. He appeared at our last Bradenton Blockchain Business and Development Meetup, speaking from his experiences in legal matters and helping and consulting the different startups and blockchain companies that are in his client base, and more than just his client base, really anybody that asks for help, he helps out. He's been a guest on the show a couple of different times, and you may go back in the archives to find him still, or you may remember him. But he has been invited to his first national speaking engagement at the World Blockchain Conference coming up at, is it Harrah's or Harrah's? It's Harrah's, right?
Harrah's. It's Harrah's.
In the New Jersey one. And that they're holding the World Blockchain Conference there. And I believe it's July.
That's where they do the money laundering. Yeah.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, that is. That's just a euphemism for gasoline.
Is that the CPA accountant in this house joke?
Probably. Well, we're going to find out anyway.
Well, in other action, we want to remind you about the podcast on demand. You can catch up on Greg Karsh's shows or many others. And by the way, the WhatsApp Crypto Crew, even though they're not here, they're making their presence known on there, and they just sent the four-letter personality type that Augie is.
Uh-oh. Where's it at?
It's not.
It's exactly what you thought it would be.
Broadcast radio friendly. Anyway, you can get a podcast of the show on demand pretty much on your favorite platform, and we're working on some more besides that. iTunes, Podomatic.com is the biggest archive. And, of course, you can follow the show on Facebook and Twitter. And we've been blowing up Twitter the past 2 days with this Pied Piper thing. Even Toonces the cat, Toonces underscore drives. Is it drives or drive?
Drives. I don't know her own handle.
Has been gaining followers.
So you're a cat person, too.
So she has quite a history. She was a feral cat that my father tamed, and after he passed away, somebody needed to continue to take care of her. So she definitely adopted me.
Feral cats are the best when you train them. I've done that several times with different cats, actually. And I turned them over to animal people who find that a miraculous.
Well, I know how to. Toonces needs a brother or sister.
Well, you know.
Or three or four.
Yeah.
Not in my house. She does not. Only CryptoKitties. She's going to breed. We're going to sort that out.
Okay. I also want to remind you about the Facebook page and the Minnesota Bitcoin Crypto Club Facebook. We have a meetup coming up here this Wednesday, 5:30 at Connect Bradenton, the next and second Bradenton Blockchain Business and Development Meetup. Anthony Bogando from Professional Credentialing Exchange. It's going to be a healthcare blockchain meetup, and we'll tell you more about that as the show goes on. Anyway, Bitcoin prices fell to a 3 week low of around, well, it said 8540, but that is out of date already. It's currently at 8347, got down to 8200 this morning as markets reacted to a flash investigation of South Korean exchange Upbit and a fresh Mt. Gox funds liquidation. The Upbit, Korea's largest cryptocurrency exchange and subsidiary of communications giant Kakao, or K-A-K-A-O, had received a visit. Oh, are you fluent in Korean? Can you help me out on that one?
I know nothing about Korean.
Okay.
I did talk to a Korean investor back in Costa Rica some time ago, and he indicated that the deal that's coming about is about to come about.
All right. Well, anyway, Korea's largest cryptocurrency exchange was visited, as in raided, by the country's Financial Supervisory Commission. According to local media, authorities suspect Upbit had deceived customers by providing false information about its balance sheet, which is a polite way of saying they've been accused of selling cryptocurrencies that they didn't own or possess or have.
Oh, a scam, a Ponzi. Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Well, no. A Ponzi.
Not a Ponzi.
A Ponzi, you make money by selling something and paying the return to the people that bought in before. There was nobody buying in before on this. It was selling non-existent.
Oh, it was even worse. Oh, a promise of buying in early, but actually never
producing. There's two sides of that. It was worse for the buyer, but for the seller, it was a very high markup.
Yeah, I just talked to somebody the other day who rented a place on Siesta Key for $2,500 that was not owned by the person renting it and paid their money up front.
Did they get to stay there?
No.
Then it's the same thing.
The same thing.
That's exactly what they've the done. They're selling fictitious. It doesn't exist.
It's called a
just
promise.
Just taking in money.
Yeah, it's the what is called trickle down. It'll get there maybe. If you're something is trickling on you, you'll know.
At the same time, executives in charge of refunding users of former Japanese exchange Mt. Gox evidently sold a new chunk of about 8,000 Bitcoin, about $70 million at press time, and in four batches of 2,000 Bitcoin. Such actions in the past have affected global prices, and this seems to be the same thing. According to people that follow, because these wallets, Augie and Cara knows this, they're public. You can see the transaction. You go to what is it, blockchain.info or some of these other ones. There's a few. You can look, see what goes in and out of these. You may not know who they belong to.
So that's true transparency.
Well, for the most part, if they had identified the Mt. Gox trustees' cold storage wallet, because that would be public from the legal proceedings. They just don't know who owned the wallets it went to. They can say they know the number that's assigned to that wallet, but from past experience, they could extrapolate what might be happening. Anyway, he was tasked to sell 200,000 bitcoins, just dumped 16,000 on the market what we think is 2 weeks ago, and then just dumped another 8,000. So 24,000, $210 million in 2 weeks, seems to have had an effect.
Yeah.
Anyway, over the past few months, despite the criticism, the Mt. Gox trustee has refused to sell these over-the-counter in block trades to high-value investors that could afford this without disrupting the market. And, in fact, the judge had instructed this not to happen again until September.
Mm.
And
why September?
Well, to allow them to consider it all, or her to consider it all.
Correct. Yep. And I think that's the next time that they're going to have a hearing, or it was postponed till that point.
Is there an appeal involved?
Well, this has been going on for years, so there's a lot of that has transpired. But now people, the people that are the complainants, are saying, we need to have another class action suit because this individual is not acting in our interest. In fact, what would be in the best interest of the people that have a claim on the Mt. Gox, if they had just distributed and prorated the remaining Bitcoin, all of them would have windfall profits by now.
So Mt. Gox really did sabotage the whole process.
Yeah, well, and then Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, who doesn't he had warned us, I don't want to make that out the wrong way, that he probably couldn't be here in time because of other commitments. I had a long discussion with him yesterday where he was applying, his technical analysis knowledge to the charts and saying, this is what I see from the reaction from there was a sudden drop yesterday about 24 hours ago when this first happened in conjunction with the Korean exchange raid. And now we've had some more fallout through this in the past 24 hours. Not as significant a drop, which was about over 10%. It dropped like just in an hour. But last night it dropped another 5% or so in 15 minutes. And, yeah, I was watching this. Anyway, to get to the point, I'll have to speak for Goldbug1. He was saying, you can apply these principles to him. And I said, how can you apply the principles? Because when you do this technical analysis of a chart, you are expecting people to behave in some kind of self-interest, either from fear, acting out of greed, acting out of analysis. But you have the Mt. Gox trustee that has this huge pile of Bitcoin who is acting irrationally and actually to the detriment of the claim holders and his fiduciary relationship.
Most definitely. And I think it's starting to really elucidate the information asymmetry that we're seeing when you...
Say that again.
I don't know if I can say it again. I practice like 10 minutes.
Asymmetry?
Yeah, she's talking about balance.
So lack of information that's out there, and it's in bits and pieces globally, where when you have the Korean exchange has been, I don't want to say delisted, it's been excluded from the coin market cap, or several of the Korean exchanges, because of the volatility.
Well, not only that, but because of the... There was a premium that the Korean exchanges were getting, so you would have an arbitrage between the rest of the exchanges in the world and the prices in Korea, and so they tried to eliminate from their data, but go ahead, please.
Well, and in doing so, you're taking bits and pieces of the information out of the system, so people are acting in what they perceive to be their own best interest on limited information.
Is this through panic?
So it definitely does breed panic.
So they don't want to be effed, right?
Well, and the whole fear factor.
Exactly.
FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Yeah,
and
well, that one too.
The irony of it is...
By the effers.
It's all
I'm vulnerable right now. But the challenge, or what I find the irony of, this is not what Bitcoin was meant to do. This is not what cryptocurrency was meant to do. It's not what the blockchain was meant to be. It was meant to be transparent and bring as much information to all people so that we're all...
Well, that was nice before it was going to make us rich. But, you know, now the purpose is for us all to get rich and retire before 20 years before we needed to.
And if that's all our purpose is, then this is exactly what will happen.
So on this point, Kara, that means the New York Stock Exchange is going to stabilize the whole thing as opposed to a random set of experiences and coins that are running around pretending something.
Not exactly, but
close.
Well, the more stability that you introduce to the space,
that means regulation.
Not through regulation necessarily.
Well, how do you stabilize?
If you introduce experience,
the magic hand of the marketplace.
Oh, that one. Oh, is that which finger?
Because at the moment, it's who you're trusting to filter your information. That's something that was not supposed to be the case, but we're still relying on how we've learned before, is we have our particular sources that we use to filter our information.
Tradition.
Yes, which is not always good. You can't take new technology and just force tradition to digest it.
You don't, and you know, you're not going to stay with the whip and buggy, but you're going to move to something more than the wicked. You're going to have bearings on your wheels, or you don't have wheels. They fall off.
I have a lifeline. I see smart contracts popping up.
Mm-hmm. All right. So one last thing about the Korean exchange before we move on to the positive news that we started the week with. And one of the unusual things about that the Korean exchange is that's where the largest volume of EOS is traded. And when you compare EOS, which had a great run up until a few days ago, that has taken an even more severe hit than some of the other currencies. We're going to go to a break, and then we're going to come back with the news about the New York Stock Exchange that had most cryptocurrency holders feeling pretty good on Tuesday. If you're a business owner, you need to start listing right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business.
Hosting a Bite Federal Bitcoin ATM gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877-855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Rain Show. Or just go to bytefederal.com and fill out the simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E. That's 877-855-2983, or go to bytefederal.com.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to it every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock, make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Henry Rain Show, WWPR, 1490 AM. And we're heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to about 1.30 p.m. In the house today, we have blockchain CPA Cara Haas. We have Augie, the crazy contrarian, if you will, and we have news stories coming up at the halfway point. We'll be examining, with the help of Cara, the Pied Piper coin airdrop that probably has a good chance of being completed before we sign off today, and it makes many of us probably wealthy beyond our imagination when they give us all that free money.
So far, I only see Ether going into their wallet.
That's because that's part of the NOS.
And it,
the stock exchange wants Ether.
I don't see any airdrops out yet.
Well, we've got time. It's still a little bit early. And we have the Blockchain Business and Development Meetup coming up this Wednesday this coming week at 5:30 at Connect Bradenton, downtown Bradenton, 12th Street West, State Road 64 East. And Anthony Bigondo, Professional Credentials Exchange, with the help of Hashed Health out of Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, is helping us do a healthcare presentation about blockchain. And again, more of that later.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Parent company of the New York Stock Exchange has been working on an online trading platform that will allow large investors to buy and hold Bitcoin, according to emails and documents viewed by the New York Times, and four people briefed on the effort who asked to remain anonymous because the plans were still confidential. News of the virtual exchange, which had not been reported before, came after Goldman Sachs went public with its intention to open a Bitcoin trading unit, most likely the first of its kind of Wall Street bank. The moves by Goldman and Intercontinental Exchange, or ICE, the parent company of the New York Stock Exchange, mark a dramatic shift towards the mainstream for the digital token that has been known, whoever wrote this, primarily for its underworld associations. I think this is actually from the New York Times, so I'm a little surprised that editorializing from the high journalistic standards of the New York Times in the midst of a news article. In fact, why don't we just go right to Dominic Chu, courtesy of CNBC, and let Dominic give us the background on this.
One small step for Wall Street, one giant leap for the crypto universe. The New York Stock Exchange's parent company, ICE, could be the latest financial heavyweight to jump in on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Let's get to Dom Chu in the newsroom for the details. Hey, Dom.
Well, Melissa, whether you buy into the viability of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or you think that they're rat poison squared like Warren Buffett does, Wall Street sees a potential profit opportunity and it keeps inching along towards the adoption of crypto. The latest is the Intercontinental Exchange, or ICE. This is the New York Stock Exchange parent company. Reports are it's in the process of trying to establish a trading platform for Bitcoin. And again, that's multiple reports, cite sources familiar. Now, if it were to happen, it would be the latest big-name traditional Wall Street company to seemingly embrace the future of cryptocurrencies. The instruments being talked about are simple swap agreements. Now, the reason why this could be a big step is it would settle these swap contracts with actual physical Bitcoin, or I guess as physical as a cryptocurrency actually can be, meaning at settlement or somebody gets the Bitcoin itself. Now, that's different than the futures market on the CME and the CBOE, where trades are ultimately settled for cash. The ICE and NYSE have declined to comment on these stories, but this project, if exists, is still under wraps, and it does come at a time when a lot of folks out there are wondering about the future of crypto. Melissa, it does come on the heels of Goldman Sachs unveiling its intention to open a crypto trading operation and hiring a head of digital asset trading. So could this be the latest step in the widespread adoption of cryptocurrencies? Perhaps we'll see. Back over to you guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dom Chu in the newsroom.
All right. That was courtesy of CNBC, Dominic Chu. And we've got a little bit more from Brian Kelly that we'll get to in a minute, a little bit more in depth about the significance of this. But this article, which I believe hit Tuesday of this week, was welcomed by everybody except the true believers of decentralization and libertarianism and those things that didn't want the major financial players to have any interest in all of this. And that would have been pretty amazing if anything that was going to be worth trillions of dollars didn't have the interest of the big financial institutions.
Well, they're just going to walk away from that.
Yeah. Well, that's like they walked away from mortgages.
Credit.
I think the derivatives market, like the Bank of Settlements. What is that? Bank of Settlements and Trusts. I used to know this stuff. I mean, when I went back in the financial crisis. The total value of derivatives is something like $700 trillion.
That's huge, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Countrywide was one that the Bank of America swallowed up.
It's multiple times bigger than the global economy.
Exactly.
So, anyway, we're digressing a little bit there. Before we go to Brian Kelly, there's some other things that had happened in the past week that really made the sun look brighter for cryptocurrency. The Winklevoss twins, the founders of the Gemini cryptocurrency exchange, they had been, as we talked about last week, working with NASDAQ and helping them with their plans. And NASDAQ is also thinking about offering cryptocurrency exchange trading. The Winklevoss twins, the Gemini exchange, just patented a new exchange traded fund facilitator. It would allow ETPs, which, where is Andy when you need him? The patent reward is noted as it provides a glimpse into the Winklevoss brothers' continuing efforts to push forward the trading of cryptocurrency-related ETFs. It would help the ETPs, which are a type of security whose prices derive from other investment instruments they are tied to. So I guess derivative in nature, too, as I stare at the blockchain CPA and looking for affirmation, and which I received. And, again, that just comes a month after they had won another patent claim. Now, this also is followed by the fact that Fundstrat has made very optimistic predictions. Tom Lee is one of the major players there that we've heard people talk about. And that had made a prediction of 36,000 for Bitcoin by the end of the year and possibly 60,000 by the end of that was by end of 2019, and possibly 60,000 in the following year. That was based on something that I found pretty unusual, because he was talking about the mining power, but we're getting to the point that most of the Bitcoin have been mined, And it's going to be another dynamic that takes over the value of Bitcoin.
So, Kara, what's being sold?
Well, once everything's been mined, which I think
you're actually getting Bitcoin for the creation of the Bitcoin. After that, you'll still need the hashing power of the miners to do the transactions, and they will be taking fees from the transactions they're processing. So they're still going to get a smaller return on their money on the money they're processing because they're not getting the free Bitcoin on top of it, but they're still going to charge transaction fees.
What are those running?
Well, those fees
can vary.
Vary depending on the difficulty of the hash, and that will continue. That model will continue.
That's one of the areas of competition where people think that they have the currency function better than Bitcoin. But there's a product of the hashing power. There's a concentration of miners that they can control that. One of the things that can be done, you can have a double pay where someone can send a payment. It's processed at the normal speed, and then they send a payment somewhere else and prioritize it with a higher transaction fee, and they can wind up getting treated by the people they were paying like they had paid them, and the one with the slower transaction gets screwed. If we had one of our Byte Federal principals, Lee or Lennart, available to us, they could probably explain it much better than I can. By the way, if you have any thoughts about this, we have an open phone line at 888-761-1490, 888-761-1490, by the way, Big Ed Edwards is back at the station, Augie. I know you remember. Kara has never met.
Well, I've interviewed Ed.
Yeah, well, I tried to describe Big Ed to Kara, and she's looking forward to when she gets to meet him. But look at this improvement. Do you see this phone that I'm holding where can receive our phones? Watch when I pull this wire.
What
happens? It doesn't even have tape holding the wire into the phone anymore.
Oh, so it's a free phone?
Well, no, it's actually got a one of those. You know how you stick that wire in the phone and it clicks and it sticks in there?
Right, yeah.
It does this now.
It does it. Wow.
Yeah, that's the first time in like 5 or 6 years.
You're revealing that what is it? What's that gray tape you use to hold everything together?
Duct tape.
So this is a duct studio.
No. It's a studio on the rise.
Ducks, they don't sink, right?
Anyway.
But to go back, we digress a little. But to go back to Augie's point.
We're talking about. Yeah, well, we're not even going to go there because we've got to get to the airdrop when we're all going
to
get rich and
come
back around. What I was trying to do is talk about some of the other things that are going. One of the things that are significant about the New York Stock Exchange doing cryptocurrency trading is the physical delivery of the Bitcoin, if you will, that they have a method of handling the supply and being custodian of the supply, which has been one of the problems of getting the financial institutions involved. Even with the Goldman Sachs announcement last week, that was only futures trading. They didn't have to worry about custody of the Bitcoin. Now, right now, the biggest custodian of Bitcoin is someone called Xapo, I guess. But anyway, they're in Switzerland, and they hold 7% of all the Bitcoin in the world. Their estimate is that's roughly about $10 billion. And I think it's actually probably a little bit more than that. According to two clients, the wallet and cold storage provider currently looks after that amount. A further source, close to the vaults, now encompasses 5 continents. So they're transcontinental in their storage, and they call that an accurate approximation. Everyone who isn't keeping keys themselves is keeping them with Xapo, the United Kingdom-based investment platform CoinShares CEO Ryan Radloff told Bloomberg. You couldn't pay me to keep it with a bank, as in, I guess, safe deposit boxes or a vault with safe deposit boxes. The overwhelming demand for cold storage of Bitcoin places the company's deposits above those of 98% of the U.S.'s 5,600-plus banks. So we could go on. There were other stories that all pointed to the acceleration of financial institutions getting into this. But what I do want to do before we go to the second half of the show and get into some of the things Carr has been working for the last 2 weeks on, is let's listen to Brian Kelly when he explains the significance of the custodial aspect of the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, pretty much. I actually saw this news and was very, very excited. I'm actually a little shocked that the market didn't pick up on this. But you notice what Dom said at the end of that segment? He said that you're going to get physical delivery of Bitcoin. Well, that doesn't really sound that interesting, except for the fact it means the ICE has a custody solution. That has been the big hurdle. How do you hold on to these assets? They're generally bearer instruments, just like old bearer bonds. And so you have to have a third-party custody person. So that's the big deal. They have come up with a custody solution for institutional holders. So it now means cryptocurrencies look to be becoming an emerging asset class, just like futures did, just like options were, and just like foreign currency were back in the 70s. So then again, that was part of my original thesis when I looked at this 5 years ago. That's how this was going to evolve. And then finally, what does this do? It opens the door for pensions and endowments. Up to this point, it's been very difficult for them to get comfortable compliance-wise in holding cryptocurrency. If ICE becomes a custodian or has a custodian solution that is SEC qualified, that fits with their compliance, that's going to open the floodgates. This is a big, growing market, but it's still relatively small to the other markets. And just a small amount of capital flowing into this could have some big price moves. So let's take a look at Bitcoin, where we are in this. We looked at this last night. We're still in this uptrend here.
Okay. This is going to be a little out of date because he was still the uptrend giving that story, which we are definitely not right now. And pretty much across the board, everything is down. And let me see. Get the most up-to-date from TradingView. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But the infrastructure is coming into place for all this. And you also wonder, as we talked earlier in the show about the Mt. Gox trustee dumping into the market, well, I wonder how secure the information that he's going to do that. If the average person that monitors the wallet knows something's about to happen, what can people with the financial resources
really know?
Do, especially with someone that is acting contrary to the instructions of the judge and his fiduciary relationship to the people he represents.
That's where those four letters come in.
Well, and that's definitely the danger in...
Plus one.
In doing this. Augie's like, you got it. Just be quiet now. You agree. Be quiet.
That's all right.
Well, Bitcoin is at 8272 as we were speaking, so it's dropped some more.
I'm just curious where the gold bug is now, because gold is really...
He's doing charity work.
No, but I mean, on the matter of gold itself, because gold is flirting with it.
Maybe he'll be here next week, and we'll be able to find out. He's welcome to call in, too, at 888-761-1490.
Yeah.
But we'll go ahead and listen to these trends from Brian Kelly, and remember the good old days of Tuesday.
Okay, 10,000, still a big number here. We had a little sell-off today. I think people just misunderstood this news. They didn't realize how big the custody issue is here. So I think on this news, we start rallying, particularly into blockchain next week, blockchain week here in New York next week. My guess would be that 10,000 is in their sights.
Do we know that ICE has a custody solution, or do we think, in other words, do we know that ICE is working on custody itself, or do we think that perhaps ICE has designated somebody who has a custody solution? Because right now, the custody solutions lie in a handful of very small operators out there, right?
Cold storage. Right. So
cold storage.
Right. The cold storage. And so what we use for my fund is we use Kingdom Trust out of Kentucky. They're an SEC-qualified custodian, but they are a smaller custodian. Whether ICE actually builds the cold storage and has the custody itself, or they've outsourced it, to do it on the level that they're going to do it, that institutional level, means that the quality of that custody and cold storage is really above grade. So I'm less concerned whether or not they've built it in-house or they're third party. At the bottom line, that custody solution is here.
And if we turn the clock back to earlier in the week when this is all happening, and 10,000 for Bitcoin was within spitting distance, it seemed like, as I would watch these charts. And, of course, you watch the charts all through the 24 hours of the day because that's just how you live in the crypto world. And, you know, I would watch I would be all encouraged by the trend lines and this going up, and then all I would see is all of a sudden big spikes in the volume of people just dumping on the market, or maybe perhaps just one individual dumping on the market. But I'd see all this volume come in, and initially the market, because it was in this strong uptrend, would absorb it. But I would still be going like, why would anybody be dumping this much in the middle of an uptrend? I could see, you know, spreading it out and taking profit and trying to take advantage of the uptrend. And then as the next couple of days went on, I saw it happen again, and then it absorbed. And then finally, about a day and a half ago, as much came into the market, and it couldn't absorb it anymore, and then you saw it go down in such a deep spike. So.
Well, now that I know about Seeking Cryptos, I can abandon
SeekingCryptos.com.
SeekingCryptos.com. I can abandon my pursuit of candle watching and understanding technical analysis, and I think I may move to wallet watching and some of these bigger holdings and addresses, and not that we necessarily know.
Sort of like our NSA does.
Where they go.
Were you laughing like I'm joking?
Sure.
But
we might as it is true.
Yeah.
I mean, and just I mean, it's all transparent. It's out there. And again, what you said earlier in the show, we don't know necessarily where it's going, but we can see some of these bigger movements move out of certain, because even with like the Mt. Gox wallets, we know their wallets from the public information. We know a lot of the Tether wallets and Bitfinex. And some of these major holdings.
Tether, just to let people who don't know, Tether is?
Tether is a stable cryptocurrency pegged to the U.S. Yes, alleged. I should know better.
So you trust the holder of the wallet itself more than you trust any other source?
No, I don't necessarily.
You can't fake that information.
That's out there and immutable. But what I'm saying is, none of us have all the information, and.
But those that have the wallets.
But you can see wallets, and you can see the amount that's being held in.
When you see $70 million of Bitcoin move, something's up.
Oh sure.
But the thing is
to follow it is to go to the wallet.
You know the address of the wallet. You don't necessarily know who. But as I said glibly, but it is serious. That for all the complaints you hear from Congress people or other, it's a stark market where we don't know what's happening. Our NSA, and I'm pretty sure that you could go to Russia or China or any major power, they are cataloging these addresses and trying to identify them with as many people as they can. So especially I could see little fish like myself that they probably know when I move my little guppies around the fishbowl.
Well, and what happens is when Henry and Andy and myself, when we are attempting to make decisions and we're saying, oh, we see the movement in the Mt. Gox, and maybe even taking some of the Korean exchange information out of the picture, and we're only trading on that limited information or attempting to make decisions on that. If we can expand the pool of information that we do have,
right.
And I know that there are wallet watchers out there and the tools available
to
do it.
If you know that, they know it too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, right. But then that helps the more wallet watchers that we can get. So the more people that are contributing to information, collective, comprehensive information,
collective
to make better trading.
Collective oversight.
Yes. Very good. All right. We're going to go to our break a little bit late now. We're going to come back with back to happy news. Free money. Pennies from heaven. Coins from the cloud. Coming up here is Kara Haas with Token Trouble. There'll be no trouble this time, though. With her Token Trouble segment is going to address Pied Piper coin, airdrop, and airdrops in general right after this.